Hello, so forth and so on. 1, 2, 3, are we on the air?
Da, 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 da. Love Talk Radio.
Hey, hello everyone. Hello, we are on the air right now, and I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay and Gus Taking a Closer Look show. We like to take a look at a number of different issues, and want to tell you a whole lot of things that are going on. As you know, we do news and information and educational issues, not only locally, nationally, but globally. And we are expecting the arrival of Larry Hand, really known in the New Jersey area, especially New Jersey, New York area. Anyway, mainly New Jersey, downtown Newark, where he was quite an activist. And we are awaiting him, and he will be here shortly. However, a good friend of mine is back here once again, and she will always be invited, back. And she's my buddy, and she's also one of the most extraordinary teachers I have ever met, and among a lot of other things. We have a lot of fun together.
Well, thank
so you're co-hosting again, huh?
One more time.
No, don't say one more time. This could be many more times.
But tell them who I am.
You're Milagros Harris.
Yes,
Millie Harris.
That are. Yeah. Milagros.
I can listen. I can do that.
Yes, you can.
You know, you taught me.
Not as well as I can.
Listen, I'd have worked for Channel 47 for nothing.
That's right.
You know, listen. Anyway, Millie, you know, we're having a... Anyway, you are an extraordinary teacher. I've talked about you on a number of different occasions, especially about the report that you did, you know, with the kids that time about the letters, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. You know, so.
Oh, I don't think they know about that.
Yes, they do, because I tell them. But you can tell it again if you can do it very quickly.
Can we use the word?
What word? Depends on the word.
Listen, hear you.
Yep. Well, this is the internet.
Okay, so we can use the word.
Well, if you want to, which.
Okay, really quick. The famous letters are.
But we try not to.
It may slip, though. Uh-huh. I don't know any other way to put it. There was a series of letters between John Adams and his wife, Abigail Adams.
Now, who are they?
Oh, John Adams, the second president of the United States.
So they did.
A couple of years now. So anyway, they had this exchange of letters and this romantic and but yet a political life. And in this exchange, Abigail is asking John, as they're going to the Constitutional Convention, to look out for women's rights. And they're known as, the letters are known as Remember the Ladies. So I asked my students if they would write a letter from Abigail to John, because John essentially blew her off.
Uh-huh.
And the letters have forever since then become known as the Listen Here, You Bastard letters.
What?
And they are famous as well as infamous.
Uh-huh.
But it is the type of education that is engaging, that gets kids interested.
But wait a minute, you gave him a problem to work out, you know?
Absolutely. It was a problem-solving situation. That, you know, Abigail had written these letters to John, and he essentially kind of like didn't pay attention. He was like saying, oh, you're so cute, you know, but we're not going to give you any women's rights. So we had the children, I had the kids write letters from the perspective of Abigail to John, essentially asking for women's rights.
Uh-huh.
And they did more threatening than asking. And like I said, the letters have forever become known as the Listen Here, You Bastard letters. They were incredible, you know. And at the end of the day, the best thing that happened was, like I said, they were engaged in this whole problem-solving situation where they were able to put themselves in this historical context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that gets kids who otherwise would not be interested in dead presidents, to other than the ones that they could have in their pockets, to take an interest in not only in history, but in activism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So actually you had them write the, well, they had received... The girls were Abigail, and the guys were, you know.
And the guys were John.
And they had a problem, and they would answer each other in their vernacular, though.
In their vernacular. And I told them, go for it. Go for it. And they really did.
I remember when you told me about that, Millie, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was absolutely brilliant. because they solved a problem.
They did.
And they were solving issues.
Right, and addressing issues.
Yeah.
And I think that today's program, when we start talking about activism, I think this is where activism should begin.
And I should say, too, with Larry Ham, who is a known activist, you know, in New York, you know, when he comes, even if he has problems, and I'm quite sure, you know, the transport is not easy around this time coming into Jersey City. But what we will do is to schedule Larry again. So, Larry, if you're listening, don't worry about it. Don't you know, go crazy about it. We can always do this again. But we are going to be talking about, before Larry gets here, we're going to be talking about, before we're even talking about his activism, I want to tell people about the African-American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. Now, the African-American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey presents Passing the Torch. And this is a tribute and a presentation of the Humanitarian Award to Gus Henningberg, Mr. Gus of Henningberg, my partner.
And very well deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be September 15th, 2012, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark. And we're going to be talking about this between now and September 15th. And the African-American Chamber of Commerce in New Jersey, and this is a group of, you know, dynamic businessmen. And they have been organized for some years that Gus was instrumental in helping to form, and certainly helping a lot of the businessmen, you know, get their contracts and, you know, increase their businesses.
Absolutely.
And among those were, you know, let's see, the maintenance company of the Ebony Maintenance with Jim Felton, Cecil Sanders, you know, property owner. Malcolm Dunn, who had a huge maintenance company and is in office in Plainfield, New Jersey right now. Who else am I called? John Harmon, who is really the CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce. And so that is going to be September 15th. And everybody.
Hey, let me just say one thing. You know, again, going back to activism, you have to acknowledge the fact that the things that Gus did was support economic activism, because, you know, at the end of the day, what people really need are jobs and economic opportunities.
Exactly.
And what you're talking about is something that's very important and much needed in our community today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The keynote speaker is the Honorable David Dinkins, you know, former mayor of New York City. And also, David Dinkins is from New Jersey, by the way. So Gus is going to be the recipient of the Humanitarian Award, and we call it, they call it, Passing the Torch. And I had written some information to people letting them know that this is going to be happening, and we are positively passing the torch. Gus is positively passing the torch. He's feeling okay. I went to see him yesterday and the day before, and what's happening is that we all went out to lunch at Vonda's restaurant, Vonda's Kitchen. You know, in Newark, off of on West Kinney Street, right off of High Street. Listen, downtown Newark, I'm telling you.
Oh, it's completely revitalized.
Yeah.
Great places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and then we have to really keep that in mind that, you know, there's so many different things going on downtown.
Absolutely.
Newark, you know. As a matter of fact, with the New Jersey Performing Arts, not the Performing Arts Center, because that's established. You know, that's where the Gus's awards dinner. Is going to be held at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. And I want to give out a number for people to call, okay? So you can call and talk to John Harmon, who is the CEO. He's from Trenton, and he is the CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce right now. And he is that number for you to call if you need some information about the tribute and you want to be a part of it. And you can get your information. That number is 609-571-1620. Once again, that number to get in touch with the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey regarding Gus Henningberg's tribute on September 15th. That number is 609-571-1620. One more time, 609-571-1620. And we'll be giving that out again, you know, during the show.
Or you can check out their website.
Yep.
At www.aacnj.com. Mm-hmm. And I'll repeat that. www.aacnj.com.
Mm-hmm. It says here, too, that the AACCNJ stands for, you know, the African-American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. And guests. We'll pay tribute to Mr. Gustav Gus Henningberg, and presented with a humanitarian award for his leadership, courage, and wisdom in executing strategies that strengthen African-American businesses and communities. And this goes back a long period of time to the airport where Gus had made sure that the construction companies who were putting responsible for, you know, laying the tarmac at the airport had, you know, a diverse workforce. So, and in order for him to do this, he had gotten angry because he wasn't receiving any information from the people who more or less owned the airports in New York and New Jersey, and that was the New Jersey Sports and not New Jersey Sports, New Jersey. New Jersey, New York.
Port Authority.
Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And that was when he walked out on the runway. Planes happened to stop because, as he tells it, they don't like foreign objects on the runway. And him being a foreign object.
He's a pretty tall guy, so I'm sure.
So they, you know, before he even got, you know, 2 or 3 feet further, they took him away to jail for a short period of time. Anyway, he did get his attention because he was called to Washington to explain his actions, and he told them about the fact that the construction companies were not integrated. In other words, African-American workers could not get, you know, work in the state of New Jersey. So just 2 years ago, or just before, you know, Governor Corzine left office, he signed this into legislation. The affirmative action legislation for construction companies in the state of New Jersey, if they are publicly financed buildings in any way, such as the Performing Arts Center, such as New Jersey Prudential, the Prudential Arena, the Rutgers Law School, Seton Hall Law School, et cetera, et cetera. There are about 7 or 8 different workshops that the construction companies were integrated on so that Blacks, Latinos, women, et cetera, including whites and everybody could, you know, have and get these jobs equally, because up to that particular point, you didn't see any black people working on the street.
You never did.
As a matter of fact, it's really kind of hard at times to find them now.
True.
So, you know, Gus needs
hopefully
to really get on
the
that.
Company.
Yeah. Well, a couple of them did, you know, so, and they were, and they had to, you know, compete for the contracts. And, you know, for some strange reason, rather, they just weren't getting the same, you know, attention that, you know, the other companies were. So Gus worked very hard and diligently on that and got it changed for in the state of New Jersey.
Well, I hope he passes the torch to the right hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. This is a dynamite group, and they've been around for a long time. There's an initial group, I think, that started in the northern New Jersey area. Mm-hmm. And now this is northern New Jersey and, you know, I guess it's southern New Jersey. It's, you know, Trenton in that area. So, but it's going to be very exciting, I think, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it
will. It's not going to be one of these long, drawn-out, dull things.
Well,
Gus
is no stick in the mud.
No.
I mean, he's a character, so I don't think he's going to tolerate long, drawn-out, boring speeches.
Yeah.
Just not his style.
Yeah.
So this should be a very well-attended event.
Yeah.
He certainly deserves to be acknowledged.
Yeah. And people have been calling in to, you know, say, yes, we will be there, like, you know, former Governor Thomas Kane, like Larry Goldman, like, Bob Kirpin, Pat Kirpin. We can go on and on and on and on. So this is going to be really very
It's going to be a great event.
Yeah. So now tell me about what you are doing right now in your classes. No, classes are out.
Well, it's summer.
Uh-huh.
And I am not in the classroom for once, and I'm taking time to do a little bit more writing.
You are?
I'm writing another book. A little bit different than the Underground Diva Lounge.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually working on 2 books simultaneously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One is just another novel chronicling essentially another episode in my somewhat sometimes interesting and somewhat sometimes not so interesting life, but I try to chronicle the ones that are a little bit more interesting. And in addition to that, I am writing a book of erotica.
What? Do you do that?
I wanted to share that, and I wanted to use my FM voice to tell you.
Well, drop it, I'm not too.
Well, then I have to talk like this. Yes, I'm writing a book of erotica.
You know, I used to do that. You know,
write erotica?
No. No comment.
Wow, find out something new every day.
Yeah, boy, I tell you. Anyway, yeah, I used to drop it when I did the FM side.
Of course.
You know, every great now and then, you know, I'd drop it, but lower. And friends of mine said, boy, use that voice again. You know, because I always wanted to do music anyway.
Oh, that sounds so hot.
I know.
Maybe you could do the audio tape of my erotica book.
Really, I'd love to.
You would?
Yeah, really.
Oh, listen, that's a real invitation.
Bad words and all.
You know, I really don't use as many bad words.
Bad words don't
as
exist
you would
anyway.
Think. No, there are no bad words.
Yeah.
There are no bad words. But I have to tell you the principle behind the book that I'm writing.
Okay.
You know, I am very, very interested in this idea of mass incarceration.
Yeah.
That, you know, such a huge percentage of the American population compared to other countries.
What are the numbers? What are our numbers?
Well,
do you have any idea?
Right now, you know, the numbers that are most often quoted are the numbers that came up in Michelle Alexander's book. Mass incarceration in the age of colorblindness. It's called The New Jim Crow.
Mm. What's that name of that book again?
The New Jim Crow.
The New Jim Crow.
Mass
okay.
incarceration in the age of colorblindness. Mm. And her idea is that, you know, this is the New Jim Crow when you look at the disproportionate amount of African Americans that are incarcerated.
Better know slavery.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you know your history and you know your constitutional law, the 13th Amendment that freed the slaves freed everyone from slavery except prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, in the case of prisoners, slavery is legal.
Still existing.
Still
really.
Existing mm-hmm. to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers she uses are approximately 2.2 million prisoners in this country. And by extension, over 30 million people who are somehow involved in the criminal justice system, whether they are on parole or you know, probation, house arrest. So there's a lot of incarcerated
mm-hmm,
people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in the federal system, there are no conjugal visits.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I frequently go see my friend and partner in the foundation, the Akbar Prey Foundation for Change. He's in Otisville, New York. And when I look around the room and I see couples, families with children, and yet the guards are overwhelmingly focused on, you know, touching, who's got their arm around somebody for too long. And I'm saying, you know, if these men are normal men, most
mm-hmm.
of them are very young. They're incarcerated early. The stop and frisk has, you know, young men in their teens and 20s incarcerated, sometimes very long sentences. So how do you maintain a normal relationship? How do you keep a healthy sexuality?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little more about that, but I want to let people know where we are. We are here at GoPro Radio Network, and this is BW Moving Images, and we are 280. What is our street number, Shauna? I don't have it in front of me. 280 First Street in Jersey City. And, you know, just in case we're waiting, I don't have my exact address here, but it's 280. Where are we? I'll get that in a minute from Shauna or Ayana or Ty.
280 First Street.
280 First Street here in Jersey City. And you had it right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, this technology, isn't it something? Yeah. I tell you, I love it. Anyway, and just in case, and I know Larry's probably stuck in traffic, because around this time going to the Lincoln Tunnel, you know, you can wait for hours.
But also, okay, there was a big rally today, an anti-violence rally in Newark.
Where was that? Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Downtown Newark, and all the local organizations were participating in this anti-violence rally. A young man from Arts High School, kid in college, you know, by all accounts, a very good kid, recently murdered in the streets. Another, you know, I mean, the violence continues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and you know, Larry is very, very involved. So
I understand that he was at your school recently, too, working with you.
He did come to my school. I invited him to come and speak to the students on the eve of a planned march for Trayvon
mm-hmm.
Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to really understand why they were moving out of the building.
I want to put up the number for people to call also. Shauna, if you could do that for us, you know, we'll put that number up just in case you know, people are listening and they want to join us in this conversation, the number for you to call in and talk to us, you know, join our conversation. Larry, in case you're listening, that number is 323-679-0906. Here at GoPro Radio Network, BW Moving Images, it's Black Wax Moving Images, and we are located at 280 First Street in Jersey City. And that number, once again, is 323-679-0906. Yes, Ayana, I got that. Ayana coming up next, everybody. Make sure, is this something? Oh, the technology.
I see this, yeah.
I have a note here, you know, on the computer. Once again, for you to call in, everyone, is 323-679-0906 here at Moving Images Studio. You know, once you can also go to, you can Google BW Moving Images.
Right.
And, you know, look up the different videos that Ty Washington has posted, that Ayana Jones has posted, and also Shauna Glover. They have posted all this information, you know, and it's some dynamite stuff.
It's amazing, the age of technology,
yeah,
everything
yeah.
at your fingertips.
Yeah, and there is still the Danny Glover and Congressman Donald Payne interview for coming from Donald's left, Congressman Donald Payne, coming from his last visit up in at the Newark Club. Okay,
right.
But not his last visit in Newark. Of course, he was from district in Newark. And from his last gala. And Danny Glover, you know, came over and, you know, participated in it. And we had managed to do a video clip. And Ayana was the host of that, the producer of that. And Lisa and I had arranged that particular interview. I wanted to do the interview that day. However, a friend of ours, that Ty had introduced me to, Melvin Van Peeples. Yes, am I name dropping everyone? Of course.
A little bit.
Yes.
That's okay.
And Melvin is one fascinating person, you know. Anyway, he...
Look, he says, yes, you are name dropping.
Yes. Wait, I haven't gotten started with the name dropping. Listen, I'm going to be talking about Ali Al-Rahman, as a matter of fact. He has a book out, by the way.
I see.
But anyway, we were over at Melvin Van Peeples' apartment, and we were going to be coming home, and we're going to get the car, and he insisted on walking with us to the, you know, to the carport or wherever I had the car. And I got a cold and came down with the flu, and so Ayana was gracious enough to do that interview. So,
really wonderful. And that clip is on the website?
That clip is on that website.
Okay. What's the website?
BW Moving Images, and then you have to go to, there's a whole group of things on Donald.
Okay.
At Congressman Donald Payne. And this one in particular is Danny Glover and Congressman Donald Payne. Bet you haven't seen this one yet. So that's the one you have to go to.
And you're right. And I'm going to go take a look at that.
Yeah, some really good stuff. And then, you know, Ty and Ayana and Shauna, and Ty 1, Ty 2, Ty 3, Ty 4, and the family, they have a number of other videos up, you know, of Choppy. Not Choppy, of Donald Payne Jr., you know, who has won the seat for, you know, filling in for his father.
That's right.
And
we call him Choppy, but don't forget it. That is Donald Payne Jr.
Yeah.
So when you see that on the ballot, don't go on the ballot looking for Choppy. You're not going to find it. Donald Payne Jr. Running for his father's seat.
That's right. And that election comes up in November. So we want people to make sure they get out and vote the right way. Also, the biggie in November, President Obama. Boy, is he taking heat.
Well, you know, that's to be expected.
Yeah.
You know, this time of the year. I mean.
But you know one thing, I don't think I've ever seen a campaign like this. When the candidates are not just taking pot shots, if you look at some of the elected officials have been saying about President Obama. I mean, the viciousness, it's like the Klan is out.
Well, that's exactly right.
You know?
And I'm glad you said it, because I was going to say, you know, this is an election that's steeped in racism. And you know, it's going to be a tough, dirty election.
Yes,
but,
it's dirty already, really. because of the lie. I can't believe some of the things that Mitt Romney is saying. And why won't he, you know, reveal all his tax returns
because
and what he did with Bain?
Because he makes too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just the same way that what was the guy with the woman and he was having the affair and
which one?
Oh yeah, right. We're talking politics. Duh. He just went on trial, like John Edwards.
God.
You know, they say he used to drive around to his campaign appearances in a beat up Buick with a dent on the side. You know, for playing off like he was the people's man, and yet he was worth like $250,000. You know, I mean,
that was so pathetic. It wasn't even funny. Yeah. It was so ridiculously foolish. You know,
but yeah. You know, it's the problem is, you know, you have a very misinformed population,
mm-hmm.
People who just, you know, take everything at surface value, and we have short memories.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you look at the economy, is that really Barack Obama's fault? I mean, look, he inherited an 8-year-old mess.
Of course.
You know, when Bill Clinton left office, I believe we were in the black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all the things that were done during the Bush administration seem to be, you know, gone with the wind.
Absolutely. I still have pictures in my mind of Bush walking away from the plane that landed
on the deck of
and
the
and walking in his stride,
right,
you know,
right.
Boom,
in the leather bomber, you know, the war is over.
Yeah. The war, I'm telling you. Millie, how do you react to this? You know, this was in the Star Ledger on July 22nd. And I love this because the fact that I thought that no one would ever really deal with this. Here it is right here. It says, after nearly four years of Barack Obama, is white America still uneasy with a black man in the White House?
What do you think?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. More uneasy
than
ever.
Gotta be kidding. Uh-huh. More so. Absolutely. They just don't know what to do. And people are saying, you know, but
like I said, it's steeped in racism. Tell
exactly.
me why this is one of the smartest presidents we've ever
absolutely.
Had.
Absolutely. And it's unbelievable to think that's a thing. If you look at Farrakhan's, you know, site, he actually names the elected officials and the things that they have been saying, not only about Barack Obama, but other, you know, African-Americans and other people, you know, who are running against their white skins,
you know. When he was elected, it was supposed to be the beginning of this post-racial society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the only person who has been held to that has been Barack Obama himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And the rest of the country has gone berserk. Like you said, the KKK is back out riding, you know, their horses at night. And it's troubled times.
And you really look at the Trayvon Martin case.
Yeah.
Now, you know, with that law, stand your ground.
Yeah.
Now, you know good and well that with sane, intelligent thinking people, you have got to really say enough, you know,
enough
this
is enough.
A ridiculous kind of, you know, what it's not really legislation, but, you know, I don't know what you call it, for people to stand on, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I just posted something on Facebook today. It was a picture somebody sent me, and it says, if you're poor and you get caught with drugs, you're a criminal. But if you're rich and you get caught with drugs, then it's a scandal and you need help, you know. And they've been posting pictures all over the place of the terrorist, you know, the orange-haired terrorist.
This is the test.
Yeah. The orange-haired terrorist. And, you know, he's mentally ill. But yet, if it's a black person who commits a crime with a gun, he's a thug. If he's a white person who commits a crime, he's mentally ill. So it's always a double standard. And again, you know, I go back to, it may be my favorite topic, and but I see it all the time. The prisons are full of young black men. Are all black men criminals? Could it possibly be? Or is it really that no white people are committing crimes? Or in this post-racial society, is there still something blatantly racial going on? I think it may be the latter. Kay has walked off and left me by myself. Let me see. What will we talk about? Well, again, let me go back to my erotica, because I think that that's a very interesting topic. I'm writing it as an act of revolution. I believe that the prison system is dehumanizing. I believe it's unbalanced. And I believe that anything that could return somebody to normalcy is worth examining. Hey, where did you go?
Where did I go? Wow. Listen, that was a test case, you know, just in case you have to fill in for me.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm kidding.
For them,
I'm not
and
kidding.
And I'm a very bad singer.
I'm not.
I think you've lost half your audience.
You did, really?
No, I didn't sing. I wouldn't do that to people.
No, you don't need any help at all. As
no,
when
back
fact,
to
you
talking about
erotica. You're filling it for me, you know, on occasion, if you don't mind. You know?
I will do anything for you, my dear.
But, you know, one thing, this stuff is really serious. You know, what I did was I left the studio momentarily because I was getting a call on my cell phone. So Shauna and Ty, they're going to be taking care of that call. So if Larry is listening in,
great.
And because I know he must be frustrated, but not to worry because, you know, we'll be bringing him back again and again.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing what I want to do, too, aside from talking about Obama, by the way, this voter repression, I won't say what I was just going to say, this voter repression stuff, you know, is some serious, serious stuff. Okay, because there are a number of states that they were giving out numerical information about these states and how they thought the vote would go, and those states that had put in different legislation regarding voter repression. And who is it going to affect? More minorities than any other group.
You know, as a history teacher, one of the things that I do in class is I give the students, I stand by the door and I hand them a test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Louisiana voting test.
Uh-huh.
You had to pass this test in order to be able to vote in the state of Louisiana.
And when was that in place?
This was in place before the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And the test, you have to do in 10 minutes. It's a lot of trick questions. I'm telling you, okay, you couldn't pass it with a PhD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet this is the test that was given to voters. There will always be ways to rig the votes.
Yeah, exactly.
That black box is a very treacherous thing because, you know, you can only count out what they put in. And my understanding was, and this came out during the 2008 election, is that it's really a cut and paste program.
Sure.
So if I wanted to take all of, say, Barack Obama's votes, if he's ahead, and just cut and paste that list over to Mitt Romney, very easy to do.
And that, and then you looked at, back at this title in the Star Ledger leading. It says, after nearly 4 years, I read it a little while ago, after nearly 4 years of Barack Obama, is white America still uneasy with a black man in the White House? There's no way that you can answer this other than yes. Very definitely
very
yes. And if we think that we are losing these people who think differently than I hope the majority of people, because look, let's face it, you know, the numbers of black, white, Latinos, you know, the white, pure whiteness
is rapidly disappearing.
It's disappearing, and in a couple of years, this is going to be a black and brown and
it's
browner. You know, so people
might as well
get used to it now because it's coming.
I believe the ratio.
So let's all live together. Why can't we all get along?
Or Rodney, rest in peace.
No, I'm telling you.
You know, I think the ratio of white births, I believe it's, oh God, I don't want to say it wrong, but it's either 1.2 to 1.8 children per family.
Uh-huh.
Latinos, 2.3.
Mm-hmm.
So statistically, by the year 2025, the country should be 50% Latino.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think, again, looking at these from the perspective of a historian, Thomas Malthus came up with an economic principle hundreds of years ago that said there is only a pie and you can only slice it so many ways.
So many times, right.
Like I like to put it, this is a dog-eat-dog world and there ain't enough dog to go around. And I think these are some of the fears that come into play at a time where you have an economic crisis. Mm-hmm. I think this is more, it is a definitely fueled by racism.
Mm-hmm.
But
which is a waste of time.
Well, it's a waste of time and energy. But, you know,
when you do negative things, you're bound to get negative back.
You're going to get negative results. And the other thing is that fear is not a good motivator.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think this stems from fear of minorities becoming an economic force in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, as a historian, looking at eras in all dynasties, there's an era where, you know, where there's growth, and there's an era where they plateau, and an era of decline. And
absolutely,
it usually takes a total of about 300 years.
Yeah, look at the dinosaurs.
I'm thinking more the Ming Dynasty.
I always like to tell people too, you know, that when you're nasty to people, and just in general, you know, with people not even, you know, respecting other people and enjoying, you know,
karma is real.
Enjoying life itself and then the life of others,
right,
you know, instead of being grouchy. And like this guy in Colorado, something was terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah, something was really wrong, but it wasn't just that he couldn't find a job.
Yeah, no, there's more to that.
Of course,
but
if that was the case, 50% of the people in Harlem don't have a job. 50% of the population of Newark doesn't have a job.
This is something else, and mental illnesses.
Oh, is it mental illness? I mean, he doesn't look, his hair looks crazy, but I see kids that look like that every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's just too easy and out to call it mental illness.
Mm.
You know what? Anybody who does something like that is mentally ill.
It has to be something that he has specifically or has happened to him, because why do an action like that? But we're not going to really investigate that. And, you know,
we can't do that.
But, you know, I always say for every action, and, you know, these are for people just listening in, and we all know this, for every action, there is always an equal and opposite reaction.
Absolutely.
And sometimes that opposite direct action, rather, is not going to be the kind of thing that you would like.
Well, in plain old English,
fair play is fair play. So let's get it together, folks. You know,
what goes around
comes around. That's right. Yes, everybody heard that.
That's right.
Anyway, talking about what goes around comes around, you know, earlier in this discussion or in the show today, the Kay and Gus Show, as we take a closer look on different topics and subjects and global communication issues, you know, the African American Chamber of Commerce, and I have to say this again and again, they are presenting a Passing the Torch tribute to Gus, for Gus, on September 15th, and it's going to be held at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center.
Right.
And the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, Millie, is located where?
Downtown Newark.
Downtown Newark. And by, what's a landmark? In fact, you can get there by train, by...
Oh, they have the light rail.
I was going to say by boat, but yeah, you can't.
Yeah,
but, you know,
you can walk from Penn Station.
Yeah,
I mean, the light rail drops you off, I think, right behind
in front of FACT
Arts Center. And there's plenty of parking, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And you can go hungry because they have plenty of restaurants there.
Hasn't that become like a food mecca downtown Newark?
Yeah.
And then also the Prudential Arena is down there.
That's right.
And we have just lost the Nets. They're going to Brooklyn.
No, great.
So I know. I like the Nets. Gus and I used to go all the time to the games. And, you know, that was during the day.
It's very interesting to go downtown during the hockey game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traffic and a lot of people I've never seen before.
Yeah, and a lot of people who don't live in Newark and never thought they'd come to Newark.
And probably will not step much further than the arena.
Well, you know, actually, they're going to all the restaurants downtown. So the restaurant,
restaurants on the periphery.
They are, you know, really booming down
there.
And such good... I'm getting hungry.
Well, you know what? If I get hungry and I'm downtown Newark, I'm not going to the restaurants around New Jersey, the Rock, or I am going uptown to the hood to get some fishing.
Talking trips. About food, you know, we have to really acknowledge the passing of Sylvia.
Yes.
You know, the Sylvia. Oh, God. I've eaten there.
Well, you know,
I am telling you, her food was smoking.
I took my students, here I go again, to a symposium on mass incarceration at Riverside Church, last September. And I wanted them to have the experience, so I took them to Sylvia's, and it was my first experience there also.
And was the food?
The food was to die for. But I think the thing that I enjoyed the most was looking around, seeing all the pictures, and seeing, you know, this is a family business.
Larry Ham is on the phone.
Wonderful.
Terrific. Let's get to Larry. Larry, hello. Are you there, Larry Ham?
Well, this is not Larry Ham. Are you speaking to me?
Well, who am I talking to?
Well, this is actually your old friend Jeff from TV who's listening to your show tonight.
Jeff Friedman?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, but I'm not Larry Ham. But, gee, Larry Ham was on our Due Process show many times, as I recall, over the years. Do you want me to hold? If he's holding, you probably want to talk to him. You know, if you want to put me on hold, that's just fine.
Yeah, but, you know, you've had Larry on. You know Larry. Well, first of all, let's tell people who you are, Jeff Friedman.
Okay, well, longtime associate of Kay's. We've produced TV shows together. Basically, I'm a guy who makes TV shows, and Kay and I have done plenty together over the years. Would that be accurate, Kay?
That would be accurate. Now, when are you coming on the show?
What, your show?
Yes.
Anytime you want me. I never would have thought of myself as coming on your show, but tell me where I have to be, and we can talk maybe tomorrow, whenever, and is your show on just on Wednesday nights?
Yeah, and as you can hear, we're loud. We're loud.
Yeah, we're loud.
we're live.
Yes.
No, who is that? That woman is your co-host. I thought that was someone on the phone. That's not your daughter, right?
No, quite well. Millie Milagros Harris. I've used to be.
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't know if we know each other. Well, what I wanted to say is that, also I wanted to say hi, but, I tuned in. I found you just, maybe 10 minutes ago, and you were just finishing up a discussion on Obama, as I recall, right?
Excellent.
And I'm thinking, what the heck do people want? Here's, this brilliant guy who is, I know for a fact he's a lot smarter than I am. So, what are they looking for? Do they want some magician? And, I'll tell you something else. I'd vote for Michelle Obama for president, and I mean that, too.
Me too.
She's like, was she Yale, law school? He went to Yale. She went to Princeton, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. So I didn't really hear the discussion except for maybe the last 20 seconds. But I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Jeff, listen, what's going on at the Montclair University with the television department? How's it going?
It's going real well. I'm sorry, Kay, is that you speaking? You're cutting out, I think.
Yeah, really? Okay. Listen,
I'm here now. So, we've been providing the production facilities for NJTV News now since last December 17th. So, we're now shooting a daily broadcast news program right out of the Dumont TV Center. So, it's real exciting.
Listen, Jeff, I need you to come in here, Millie and I are going to be here when you come in. Is that okay with you, Millie?
That's
okay, because, we are, worked with Jeff, and Jeff is one of the most fantastic producers in the entire world, I'm telling you. And I'm missing him, love, I'm telling you, really. But I think Larry here might be on the phone, and we may have to be getting off because I want to get him on.
Please, no, that's what I was saying before. I think your audience would rather listen to Larry Ham than me, but let's talk, and it's so great hearing your voice and hearing you on the radio, too.
So great hearing from you, Jeff. I can't believe this is great. Okay.
Take care, Jeff.
Talk to you soon, okay? Okay, let's go to the line now and see if we can reach Larry Ham. Shauna, Ayana, is Larry on, or since we are live, and we want to put up that number once again. Because
hello?
We're waiting. Larry, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm a little harried. I had my adventure today with the traffic.
That's
really
going to be the problem.
Really bad. But I'm actually, believe it or not, in Jersey City. But,
but
I thought it might be better to call in because I could wander around here for a while.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us more.
What we
are you there?
Here?
Yes, I'm here.
Uh-huh. Okay, Larry, tell us about you. Now, I know you're an activist. You've been activating. You've been demonstrating and preaching and talking in Newark for many, many years. You were the youngest person on the Board of Education at one particular time. So what's it like in the activism field right now? That's really silly to say, but, still being active. What kind of responses are you getting?
Well, now we're getting very good responses because the worsening economic crisis and all its concomitant problems are really pushing people now in a direction where, they're unsatisfied, they're not satisfied with the status quo. And so for the last year, we've been getting very good responses and getting people out onto the streets around a variety of issues, especially on the issue of jobs. You know, we just concluded the first wave of daily protests, 381 days of daily protests for jobs, and it was a quite a successful campaign.
Did you say how many days?
381 days. We had started on June 27th, 2011, and we had a demonstration every day from June 27th, 2011 until July 11th, 2012. And we picked 381 days because that was the length of the Montgomery bus boycott.
Yeah.
And we felt that if our forebears, who had much less to work with than we did, could boycott those buses 381 days, certainly we could do a daily protest for a couple of hours each day for 381 days. And I'm happy to say that we were successful at that, and literally involved hundreds of people in the effort over that year period.
Uh-huh. And I was one of them. I was
Yes.
Where were you stationed, if that's the correct terminology? Where were you, or were you at different sites?
Well, we basically were at two sites. Fundamentally, one site for 6 days, which was the intersection of West Market Street and Springfield Avenue on the plaza of the Essex County Courthouse where the Abraham Lincoln statue is. Yes, we were there Sunday through Friday, and on Saturdays we went to the intersection of right in the heart of downtown Newark, the intersection of Broad and Market Streets on Saturdays. So for 6 days a week we were at West Market and Springfield, and for on Saturdays we were at the intersection of Broad and Market.
Yeah.
Wow. Larry, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Millie, you came to Central High School on the day before the students were getting ready to walk out. Trayvon Martin incident came, and I'm ever so grateful because you really opened our eyes to a lot of things in terms of activism. The teachers, we were very moved by what you were saying, but it also made us very aware of how little the students know. And do you have any suggestions, any ideas for us as educators, and in Central we do have a social justice academy.
Yes.
How do we get kids motivated and involved?
That is the $64,000 question. I think one of the tools that's available to teachers now, that was available to us to a degree, but even more so now, is the media, our films and other media that tell the story of the civil rights movement, the Black Power movement, the anti-war movement, the women's movement. You know, there are a lot more films and documentaries around now that can be used as aids in the classroom than we had, say, back in 1970 when I was a student at Arts High School, and we walked out. For one of the reasons was to change the curriculum, to update the curriculum, to make it more relevant. Yeah. So there's a lot more media available, and of course a lot more books for those students, you know, who have the time to read. You know, one of the things that I find that's different now with young people is they have to work a lot more than we did. Now I worked during the summers, you know, when we had summer vacations.
Right.
But I tell you, during the school year, I did not work. And I came right off 12th Street in Newark. I didn't come from a privileged family, you know, but my family, you know, made sure I had everything that I needed, and so I could participate in extracurricular activities. As you might know, I was a star athlete, long-distance runner at Arts High School. I was on track team, cross-country team, you know. But these young people today, a lot of them, even though they have parents that work, they're working. You know, when I hear people say that folks don't want to work, I know that is patently untrue. That's right. People are taking all kind of jobs everywhere.
Right.
You know, and these young people have to work a lot more than they are literally working themselves through school, working all throughout the school year. And that's different. Now, we had kids, you know, back in the 70s, you know, and I started arts high school in the fall of 1967. We had kids that worked, but the numbers are far greater today of kids that work all year round.
And
so
kids who want to work. Part of the problem
That's right. That's right. And there are kids that want to work that can't find jobs. I mean, one of the big things that's going on this summer, and one of the things when we're out there, you know, proselytizing and preaching and yelling and screaming at these daily protests, has been the fact that there are hardly any summer jobs. Now, when I came up, we had all kinds of summer job programs for kids. Speedy came a little after my time in high school, but we had all kind of Title I programs that we could work at during the summer. There were all kinds of things available to us. None of that is available to these young people today. Yes.
Larry, we're running out of time. I have to ask you something right now. I'm going to make a promise to you. Guest and I are preparing our shows. His from Positively Black, of them, and me from WLIB and New Jersey Network and New Jersey Press Conference on Channel 47. We're preparing a lot of those interviews and those conversations for a website. And
great.
For a group of students, and they're interested in these kinds of historical pieces, interested in our history. For instance,
yes.
We have the part one and part two of four scholars together on the same show, and that's Dr. Clark, Dr. Van Sertimer, Dr. Gunther, and Dr. Ben.
In a part two.
First of all, they're dealing with the evolution of man. They're dealing with the anthropological studies. And if you can hear and see these four great scholars together, it's absolutely amazing with the information that you come out with. Now, if you have a group of students, and I'm quite sure I might be able to get Millie to help you with this, we'll come down and maybe, you know, let you see several of these, because they are really, really very impressive with a lot of information. And as
I know that they're dynamite.
When Gil Noble first started Like It Is, he was one of the first people to have Dr. Ben on, and that's how I became, you know, interested in Dr. Ben. And we have right now 2 minutes, so that's all the time that I have. But, you know, let's talk again, and then let's talk after the show, and probably tomorrow if we can make another date. But I think it would be very interesting to the kids to actually see these maybe even before we put them on the air, so they can ask kinds of questions, because in one of them in particular, Dr. Ben deals with the 16 stories of the Immaculate Conception.
Oh boy.
He talks about the Black Madonna. And a friend of mine has gone to see the Black Madonna, and finally, within the last 2 months, I have seen a picture of the Black Madonna. Okay?
Wow.
Thank you. Are you still in Jersey City?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Are you still in Jersey City, Larry?
Yes, I'm still in, but I'm going to turn back now.
Don't turn back. We still want to see you. I want to write an article about you, Larry. So,
are you anywhere near the studio? Do you know where you are?
Right now.
So listen, I want you to meet the crew here. I want you to meet Ty Washington, Shona Glover, and Ayanna Jones. And, you know, I want you to do a radio show right from here, from GoPro Radio Network. You have a lot of information.
I'll try to get there then. I'll still try to get there. I won't turn back.
Never mind. Deal with that. But we'll wait for you for a short period of time, okay?
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Harry.
Take care.
So great. We're running out of time.
We're out of time.
Yeah,
this was fun.
Back again. We have 30 seconds. I'm Kay Thompson. And don't forget, you know, Tribute for Gus coming up September 15th at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. And you can call for information, the African American Chamber of Commerce in New Jersey. That number to reach them is 609-571-1620. Once again, 609-571-1620. And lastly, 609 571-1620. Millie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kay.
All right, and about maybe next week or the week after, let's do it again, okay?
Let's do it again.
Okay. Until then, everyone.